We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Okay, you're in charge today, aren't you? Because I didn't take any notes. I've been having a bit of a week.
You've been Mr. Crybaby McWhiny Pants all week.
Yeah.
Just crying, babying at me all week. Hard. Life is so hard. I don't know. My wife has COVID and I have to watch all my children and all that kind of stuff, right?
That type of stuff, yeah. And then they canceled daycare,
yeah. And then I made you record on a Saturday night. Usually that's daddy's night.
That's not... Yes, sure. No, it's...
It's daddy's night in this house.
Daddy doesn't get a night in this house.
He doesn't get a weekend night to just be daddy?
No.
When do you have time to be daddy?
Sometimes on Tuesday mornings.
Hmm. Sounds nice.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Oh, your life is really hard right now.
Mr. Whiny, you're being Mr. Whiny,
crybaby, fart butt. And I am
adding things.
Ascending.
You're ascending. You just feel like you're in control.
Yeah.
Like you're
ascending.
Yeah.
I made us watch a new film. You wanted to stick to all the like
old
90s
classics.
And 2000s like romantic comedies. And I said, "No,
we got to watch something new."
Jumping through time to modern day.
This one went over my head kind of.
This one went over your head, the film?
Yeah. The film.
Yeah, it was a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Feast for the Senses.
A Feast for the Senses. Yeah.
We watched a film called Fire Island, 2022's Fire Island,
and yes.
I was also a little, I will admit, on my back foot when the film started, and it turned out to be about a friend group of gay men.
Yeah.
And not fire elementals.
It was not about fire elementals. Tanner and I thought we were going to be watching a fire elemental movie, but it's not even a fiery island.
The island isn't even very fiery. I think maybe I did see like a couple of like token fires.
Yeah, but it was more like controlled bonfires.
Or like tiki torches.
Yeah.
but it's still set dressing. You know?
It's just different from what we expected.
Yeah, and that's why both Jack and I were sort of, this one went over our head a little bit. We were on our back feet a little bit just because we came into it with an expectation. I also heard, Jack.
Yeah.
That the film is loosely adapted from an existing piece of like iconic media.
Oh yeah,
but I can't remember which one.
Okay, well maybe we can tease that apart.
Figure it out
as we go through. Yeah,
it should be obvious if it's really like based on something that like everyone's like, oh, it's based on blah, 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 and then that's sort of where I can't remember what it is.
Yeah,
we surely will be able to recognize it, right?
I'm sure we would be able to recognize it. I watched a Pokemon movie once where they go to some kind of like fire type island. Could it have been?
Yeah. Oh boy. Huh.
You know, like Charizard is there?
Yeah. I think that was the third film.
Could be that. We'll find out. We should say it's a new movie. It's just out.
It's available for rent or purchase.
Rented it
on streaming services.
One of our streaming
services. Oh, no,
it's
on Hulu, actually.
Okay.
It's a Hulu original.
We all watched it, the family, and we should say maybe what is... Oh, it's The Strange Bedfellows. I'm Jack. I'm having a bit of a week. I'm Mr. Whiny McCrybaby this week.
Yeah, that's Jack this week. My name's Tanner. I'm ascending.
Ascendant, yeah.
and I'm unstoppable.
Yeah, you're like Jupiter ascending.
I'm like Jupiter ascending, yeah. And I'm made out of bee parts.
Is that a thing in that movie?
Yeah, Sean Bean.
I didn't watch it. Okay.
He was like a bee man. And everyone's like some kind of man.
Everyone's a kind of man, yeah.
And Channing Tatum was like a dog man.
Okay.
Or like a wolf man, I think.
How did I miss that one?
Hell of a film. Yeah, and Sean Bean was like part bee.
Yeah, okay, that's good. But that's none of that is in this one.
Do we want to do our dramatis personae?
Oh, yeah. We have a hit segment we do at the top of the show now where we do dramatis personae.
There's two notable... I mean, this is just... It's a film filled with people you've never seen before unless you're like...
Rising stars.
Rising stars, except for Margaret Cho, who's like notably in it.
And Bowen Yang.
Well, and that's what I want to talk about is there's two other sort of notable names in the cast, Jack. And it's Bowen Yang...
Yeah.
And Matt Rogers, who play two of the friends.
Yeah.
in the film. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the film, if you're one of these,
I've seen it,
sex bugs who watches along.
Yeah,
Bowen Yang is Howie, the guy, the nerdy friend with the glasses, mm-hmm. and Matt Rogers is Luke, the funny guy who's always in leotards, who has a porn made of him against his wishes.
Yeah, spoiler for the movie.
They are peers, Jack.
They're peers, yes.
Of us.
Of us.
We sort of run in the same circles.
Okay, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're podcast hosts. They have a podcast called Las Culturistas, which is a little bit like what we do, too, you know?
Yeah.
Just sort of like two friends, kind of.
Two cultured friends.
Yeah, like commenting on
media.
Sort of the media.
And the zeitgeist.
And the zeitgeist, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do, yeah.
That's what we tell investors.
Yeah.
That's what's in our investor deck. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they got a movie.
Oh, I see, yeah, and?
Where's our fucking movie?
Where's our fucking movie? Okay, so your view is these guys and us guys have...
Us podcasters.
Have done the same...
Apparently they're handing out us podcasters.
Works just as hard as one another.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Does Joelkim Booster also have a podcast? I don't think so. I think he just appears on podcasts quite a bit.
So where's our movie?
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't realize all it took
was
having a podcast.
And then
because I've had two of those for years.
And nobody's offered you a movie.
No, I've even asked movie producers. Movie producers came on my show and said, here's where you can cast me in your show.
Yeah, no, that's true. I do remember that. I think we were close. I think we were close.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that
that's
happened.
That's what happened
to
season three. So, Sex Bugs, you all know this, but we used to host a show about the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
And we interviewed all the people from the TV show, and we made a lot of funny jokes and sort of made fun of them.
Yeah.
And insisted that we be on season two of the show, and they did not invite us on. I bet they were gunning for us, really.
For
like,
season three.
For season three being
for
like,
sure.
This is a deal breaker, you know, like,
This
is a hill we die on. We walk away unless Jack and Tanner is in this. And Netflix is just like, absolutely not.
The streaming platforms were like,
go to fucking Hulu.
They were like, we've only got room for one more movie with podcasters. And it's Fire Island. And it's with rough equivalents in talent and hard work to Jack and Tanner, Bowen Yang, and other guy.
Matt Rogers.
Yeah. Okay, so, that's it. So this has been the airing of grievances portion. I thought we were going to be doing dramatic.
Do
we
want to speculate on what our move... Well, it is... I mean, that's the... I mean, Joelkim Booster's in it, too.
Okay. Yeah.
Joelkim Booster.
Yeah.
Not Joel, like Joel Embiid. He's in it, too. He's famous.
What would our movie be?
Yeah, these guys chose to adapt something.
Some iconic property.
Into,
and
like,
we're
going to
get
modern...
into that. Yeah.
Space.
So what could we adapt that's modern? So what's our vibe here? It's two buds, middle age.
Two middle-aged dads. Yeah,
yeah.
I guess sort of like overworked.
Yeah.
Chemical dependent.
Yeah. It sounds like it's starting to sound like a Jonathan Franzen novel.
I mean,
yeah,
I guess.
You know, and if the shoe fits.
The shoe fits, yeah.
And have they done the corrections yet?
I don't think so. So that could be us. Or
that
I mean,
we would
do it about like, where's a place that we like going together?
Where do we go together? Sometimes Tokyo. It could be like Lost in Translation.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's based on the corrections. What if it's us, like, it's a weekend where you're in New York for a live show, and it's like us getting ready for the live show.
That would be fun.
And
I'd
it's also
that.
Based on Jonathan Franzen's The corrections.
Those are that could be. I think Jonathan Franzen would have a field day with that, because those weekends that we've now done three of them, and it's usually me trying to over prepare for the show and force you to come along with me and say that you'll do the things that I am over preparing, and you worrying that no one's going to come to the show, or too many people are going to come to the show.
Yeah, there's a sweet spot.
And just kind of talking past each other on those topics.
And sort of the tension of that, you know?
Yeah.
All culminating in the show.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
We got to... Hulu. Yeah, Hulu.
Is giving these things out to podcasters.
All right. So if anyone at Hulu is in the audience, please do tell them about our show.
Yeah.
And trademark on the show and copyright.
Yeah.
2022
and
Jack
screenplay
and
by Jonathan Franzen.
Yep. So that's the dramatis personae this week.
Yeah.
Segment over.
Yeah, good.
Now onward to describing the film.
Shall I give it a whirl to start, just to kick us off?
Yeah, and I'm gonna. If you're doing broad strokes,
yeah,
I think that'll help sort of clarify the beats for me in a way that might.
Yeah.
Sort of reveal what mystery media
we should. So that I think that's going to be maybe the discovery portion of this episode is going to be us. We will figure it out for you, the loyal listeners, what this is based on as our show progresses.
Yeah.
We're going to figure it out. We're going to do some shoe leather reporting and sleuthing required to figure out what.
Can I voice a concern?
Yeah.
I'm worried it might be Jonathan Franzen's The Corrections.
Oh, shit.
And that's why it's so top of mind.
It's been a while since I read it, but why did that just pop into my head?
Right,
it's not
right.
even a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
I remember that he was nominated for the Oprah Book Club, and then he was like, I don't want to be in this. And, you know, everyone knows that, but it's like,
dweeb.
What a dweeb. Like, it just gets dweebier and lamer with every passing year that he did that. I don't want the masses to read my mass market paperback.
You know, I think something that I've realized as I've gotten closer to 40 is like things that felt very like arch and anti-authority, like
just super fucking lame
10 years ago is just like completely lame and corny.
Yeah, like it's lame, man. I, you know what? I liked the, I remember I liked the book, but boy, that was lame. I mean, you know, we eat shit, Jonathan Franzen, and we finally got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, after all these years, somebody held him to account.
Yeah. And wait until we hire you to write our fucking screenplay for our Hulu hit.
Yeah.
We'll pay you $1 billion.
Two boys panic about a live show.
Two adults. Two dads.
Two adult men. Yeah.
We can't call ourselves boys anymore, Jack. It's not charming anymore.
Two adult men take the wrong amount of medications before a live show. And get either too panicked or too relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This episode's really like ripped a Band-Aid off for us.
You know
what?
I'm feeling better than when I started.
Seeing two podcasters. Yeah. I was ascendant.
Yeah.
But seeing two fellow podcasters, complete peers in every way.
Yeah.
Finding such success. Oh.
Yeah, and everybody loves this. It's like 96% on Rotten.
Where's my bite? You know, where's my
bite at the apple? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a big trip to Fire Island. They do it every year. It's the boys.
Yep. Not from Amazon.
Not from that show. Yeah, it's just the boys. It's a bunch of boys who always go to Fire Island. For folks who don't know, Fire Island is like a gay paradise.
It's in
not
like
too far
Montauk.
From New York City.
Yep.
And they always go and they stay with Margaret Cho.
Yes, she's their mom.
She's their mom type figure. And she's a lesbian woman who has kind of taken them in, and she has a house, but it's not as nice as some of the houses on Fire Island, but it's like a house
but
they always go.
It's cozy.
And it's a wall-to-wall fuck fest, I think, mostly.
Oh, yeah.
Is the plan.
Certainly.
To use a technical term.
The film is led, and I guess maybe this will give us a potential angle here, a trajectory on which to hit this.
Yeah.
The film is led by Joel Kim Booster, who's playing somebody. I don't know.
Yeah, one of the guys.
Noah.
I didn't catch them. There's too many. Disclaimer. There's too many guys in the movie. It's mostly guys. And
it's almost all guys. Yeah.
And it's too many for me to remember what they're all called.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
And they all have pretty forgettable names, like Noah, which is Joel Kim Booster's name.
Yes.
He's sort of the main character. He's sort of this relatable everyman. Likes to party, likes to do sex.
Mm-hmm.
It turns it into a bit of a pact with Bo and Yang that the two of them will, by the end of the summer, have had sex.
Has kind of virginal vibes.
Yeah.
He hasn't dated much. He's awkward on the topic. And Joel, a.k.a. Noah, only likes to have sex. He doesn't like to have boyfriends.
Yeah.
He's like not a boyfriend type of guy.
Yeah.
Like the film opens with him like kicking a handsome man out of his bedroom in the morning.
Hey. Oh. Hey, you. You're still here, which is awesome. Except you have to leave.
Sorry, what?
No. Last night was fun.
Keep an eye on.
Seriously, you gotta go.
Yeah, I know that looked a little harsh, but he had boyfriend energy, and that is just not me.
Because he doesn't want anyone
he's in
to
and
get
out.
The impression
he's
that
in
he
and
might
out. Yeah.
be interested in having a long-term relationship.
So that's kind of the A plot driving the film.
Yeah.
There's a number of pieces of media that I think kind of echo that. That's sort of a trope.
Well, there's the medieval mystery play, Everyman. I mean, you said it's kind of an everyman story, so could we start there? Could we start in, like, the, you know, 12th century? You know, these sort of traveling troops of actors would go around and play these allegories for one another in different towns? Could it be that? Or is that
I just worry too far back? I'm not sure it's too far back. I think if you say to someone, oh, this movie is based on, like, something you've heard of.
Yeah.
Definitely never heard of Everyman.
You never heard of Everyman?
I'm wondering how many people have.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Though I will say now that Everyman, if I were to describe it, I haven't read it since college, is more of a religious allegory than a wall-to-wall fuckfest.
Okay.
I think. So that might be disqualifying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Okay.
But I just think right off the bat, something we should talk about, Jack, is... bring the tone down a little bit.
Okay, let's bring
take our joke hats off.
Okay, yeah.
Put our little Bingus Butcher paper caps on.
Okay.
Throw on the aprons.
Yeah.
Step behind the butcher's counter because it's Girth Jack. How long that dong?
Girth Jack. How long that dong? This is where we say how long the there's a lot of it.
And I'll just say now that it's this show.
Yeah.
Strange Bedfellows.
Yeah.
We're pretty, you know, we're pretty progressive. We like to accommodate a lot of different kind of ways of being.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day,
we're just Bingus Butchers.
The Bingus Butchers deserve as much, they deserve protection, you know?
Okay.
Workers' protection.
Yeah. We're out here on the front lines.
Yeah. And I think the amount of Binguses in this movie.
Yeah.
It's just, it's too much to ask too, like...
Yeah, and it's been, I'll say, it's been well over a year since everybody came out on their balconies at 7 o'clock and clapped for the Bingus Butchers, you know, at the end of a hard day.
You can't throw as many dicks at the Bingus Butchers as this film did and expect them to just, like, keep up, you know?
Yeah,
you're like, here you go, boys, here's your load for the day. And it's like...
Yeah. Yeah. That's too much.
These dicks are going to go bad. They're going to, like, sit outside and rot because we just can't get to them that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we just give them the night off because I think if we did try to catalog and assess each Bingus,
that would be the rest
movie,
of the show. And
it would just
be
the entire show.
There's so many of it. There's a lot. Yeah.
And, you know, this is,
Yeah.
So we might make a few less bucks today.
Yeah.
But you know what? We believe in workers' rights.
Exactly. So we won't, unfortunately, be hearing from the Bingus Butchers this week. Just know that there's a lot of penises in this film. And I was going to say everyone's having a nice time, but what actually happens is that not everyone has a nice time.
Almost everyone does.
A lot of people appear to be having a pretty nice time. But a lot of the boys are getting caught up in the drama and the bullshit and the schemes.
Yeah, Bo and Yang
sees
a boy across the dock.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a man. He's like a boy.
He's a boy.
Very boyish.
He's got boyish features. Yeah.
Yep. And he gives him eyes.
He gives him eyes. Yeah.
And the boy returns the eyes and romance is blooming.
Yeah. And he's nice.
He's one of the nice ones, but he
belongs
with,
to a different social set.
Yeah. He's friends with the like rich party boys on Fire
Island.
This
is something that I was talking with my wife about after the film, because they are doing a thing where they're like, early on they're like, well, within gay culture on Fire Island, you know, there are different social...
You said this to your wife?
That's what they said in the film, and then I was about to comment
right,
on it. Thank
okay.
you so much for derailing that. I do appreciate it.
No, I just wanted to make sure...
It's not hard to keep it all in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they say in the film. There's
yeah,
you know,
and
different
you
social
speaking things. As an authority.
Awesome. That's great, because I had just kind of got ramped back up into it. But now here, it's okay. Let's just start again. There are two. So what they say in the film is that there are a couple different social spheres.
Yeah.
And in some of them, it's like, you got the abs, you got the looks.
Yeah, that's my
sphere. And then in some of them, you know, you're lesser somehow. It's kind of the message of the film.
Yeah.
In our community, money isn't the only form of currency. Race, masculinity, abs. Just a few of the metrics we use to separate ourselves into upper and lower classes. Of course, I don't care about all that shit, but... what can I say? I'm a class traitor.
But, and this is my counterpoint, everybody in the film is so good looking.
Yeah, everyone is really good
looking.
And they
all have the
only
abs.
Thing that
I
really...
I couldn't make any fine distinctions between, like, the apparent high-class guys with their extremely handsome, masculine, sexy bodies, and the apparent, you know, riffraff, who are the ones that we're kind of identifying with. And they're incredibly handsome, toned, sexy bodies.
The most notable thing is that the crew, the boys, the crew that we're hanging with... wears like slightly more colorful like
slightly
swim trunks.
But they all exactly. But it was like if you had lined them up. And you know what, this could be a cultural thing. It's not it may be that I have not spent enough time on Fire Island kind of differentiating.
No,
but
and
if you
I
line them all up,
hellish.
I would say that is a long
fire
line
everywhere.
Of extremely handsome, colorfully clad, swim betrunked, sexy boys.
So that but they managed to ingratiate themselves to the upper class, the upper tier,
and they go to their party,
and they embarrass themselves. Except like the one like boy who's interested, in Bo and Yang
gets along
keeps the connection between,
and they
the
have a
alive.
Nice night where Bo and Yang vomits all night into an urn, and then the other man, you know, strokes his hair, and it's a connection is formed. So do we
have
enough?
Think about this. Yeah. We're talking about sort of the protagonist, and their circle is kind of invited into or finds their way into like
a different sphere of society.
Yeah.
Like a different clique.
Oh, what's that thing with I think it's Matt Damon where he like goes into fancy space.
Oh, Elysium.
Yeah. Is it could it be that?
Huh. Could be Elysium.
I haven't seen it.
It feels a little modern. Like, we need a... Like, Elysium was, like, what, 2016?
Yeah, it was
like, are we ready for a retelling of Elysium in 2022?
Yeah, maybe not. Okay, so you think it's something more... So somewhere... So I think we're narrowing down, because it's somewhere in between medieval allegory, Everyman...
Yeah.
And modern like allegory.
2016, like, action...
Elysium.
Epic. Yeah.
Okay. But that was a good guess. So it's
good
some...
Good guess.
Yeah. And it's also going to be some kind of a property whereby it seems like the vibe that's happening between these two factions to some extent is that the snobs are a little bit too snobby.
Yeah,
and
a lot of
the
them.
Other
there's
crowd,
a bit. There's a recurring bit in the film where every time Joelkin Boester shows up at this place.
Yeah, it's funny.
They're like, there's a guy who like.
It says, can I help
you? It just always is like walking down the stairway saying, can I help you?
Yeah.
Even though he's been introduced to him like three times.
Excuse me, can we
help
me?
Yeah, you could get a new fucking line, Brayden. Jesus.
It's a good bit. It's the best bit in the movie. Okay, so not enough yet.
I mean, unless you can reach back into your like pedantic academia space.
What am I looking for? Wall-to-wall fuckfest.
Wall-to-wall fuckfest, but I think we focus on this one thing at a time here. You know, because like cultures change, moods shift, like something that's acceptable now may not have been acceptable then. So
yeah.
What is like some like class hopping sort of like narratives about a lower class being temporarily thrust into an upper
class? It sounds a lot like Dickens.
Right. Great
Bleak
Expectations.
House, Great Expectations. That feels more... Because there are a lot of great expectations in this.
Yeah. Of everyone has a pretty great expectation.
Having a really nice
down.
Time on Fire Island with some Molly and some dicking down.
Yeah. Jamie and I had to look up what G is.
G?
Yeah, one of them takes G and it gets pretty bonkers.
Well, what's that? I didn't know
It's liquid. It's called liquid Molly or liquid E. Like gamma,
nothing's new. Nothing's new, man. Nothing's back in my day, we just called it E, and now they're like, it's the same thing, but it's got a different name. And
now you
it's
just drink
liquid.
It.
Okay, dude, it's the same shit, guys.
Yeah, you just have to drink it, though. You know. So maybe, let's put a pin in that one.
Okay.
So we've got maybe the Everyman.
We've got Everyman. We've got corrections.
Yep.
No, we don't have that. That's just for us.
That's for us. That's
we've
for daddies.
We've got Elysium.
Elysium could be.
And then we felt like we were getting somewhere with Dickens or Trollope. Let me throw one out here for you, Rider Haggard. And before you say, hey, who's that?
Yeah.
The film opens and Noah, I believe, being awoken by his ringtone.
Yeah.
And his ringtone is a repetitive phrase of somebody saying,
"She's an icon. She's a legend. She's an icon. She's a legend."
Okay.
And
those two sentences over and over again?
Yeah, she's an icon. She's a legend. That's the ringtone.
Okay.
And so I think the film is asking us, the viewers, the critic, to wonder or to discover, who's she? And as you know, Tanner, she is a novel by Rider Haggard.
Oh.
She Who Must Not Be Named.
Okay. It's also a Green Day song.
Yeah, it's also a Green Day song, but that's vastly less interesting.
But people Could have heard of that Green Day song. I don't think anyone's really heard of. What did you say his name was? Merle Haggard?
It's Rider Haggard. Come on, man. He has a much more famous novel than she.
Do you want to know what it actually is about?
It's called King Solomon's Mines.
Lil
King
Kim.
Solomon's Mines. 1885. 1886 is she. What? Lil Kim?
Lil Kim.
What about her?
That's who she is.
How do we know?
I looked it up.
No, it's...
"She's an icon, she's a legend" was a phrase uttered by Wendy Williams on The Wendy Show, and she's talking about rapper Lil Kim on the 11th of July, 2019 episode of The Wendy Williams Show.
A first-person narrative which follows the journey of Horace Holly and his ward Leo Vinci to a lost kingdom in the African interior. They encounter a... Oh, this sounds really problematic.
Yeah. Let's... put that one sort of in the maybe pile.
Okay.
And I guess we'll put this episode of Wendy Williams in there too.
So it's Lil Kim.
That's who she is referring to. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's one mystery
so
solved.
So it could be based on a...
I hope you're enjoying this ride. We're solving mysteries left
and
right.
Yeah. We don't want to look it up. We're
not going to look it up.
We shouldn't have to look it up.
We could say what's it based on, but we're not going to.
No. We shouldn't have to.
Should we take a break?
The film should make it clear. Yes, let's take a break.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still... pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. Okay, here's what I think we should do, because we're just banging our heads up against a wall here.
Yeah.
I've got a fun little quiz I prepared.
Perfect. I'm frustrated. I need to clear my head.
We'll do this fun little clear quiz as a distraction from the task at hand, which is we promise you that by the end of this episode, Bed Babies, we will have figured out, without looking it up, what property this film is based on.
Yep.
In the meantime, just to clear the air, let's do this fun, silly quiz that I've invented that's called... Is this a quote from Fire Island or Pride and Prejudice?
Okay.
And you can guess. Yeah, funny, right?
One's old, one's new.
One's old and one's new. But which is it? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start. Ready? And you just say which one you think it is.
Okay.
I've just pulled a few quotes. And there's a slight problem because I didn't label them. And I can't...
Oh, okay.
Totally remember myself which one is which, but I'm gonna try to make sure I get it right.
Okay,
here's the first one. Ready?
Yep.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
Yeah. And it's me, I'm guessing?
I'm asking you, is that a quote from Fire Island or the Jane Austen novel Pride and Prejudice? Or the Jane Austen BBC adaptation with Jennifer Ely.
Been a little while.
That I will acknowledge.
Since I read the book, which I've read several times, and it's been a little while since I've seen any of the adaptations, which I've seen several of.
Yeah.
So it's not as fresh in my mind as I probably would want it to be for this, but is that Jane Austen?
You know what? It's actually in both.
Oh, that's in both?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Okay.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
So they just, Fire Island just like the lifted
film,
it?
Fire Island starts with they say that. I mean,
I guess it's just language. It's not
in the public domain by
now,
I guess. Yeah.
But it's also just like, that's just how I wanted to say it too.
Yeah, that's how I wanted to say it. It's a truth universally acknowledged. So Jane is already saying that everybody knows this.
Yeah, yeah, right? I'm aware that that's how Jane Austen said it, but I don't care. It's how I want to say it, too.
Yeah, I am part of universally, and I acknowledge this as well, says Fire Island director. Okay, all right, that was a tough one. Okay, here's a second one.
Yeah.
I only pulled a couple. I don't have a lot. I have to be attracted to him. He has to be nice to me. And I'm not letting some guy stick his foot in my ass just so I can say I got some.
So I just watched Fire Island.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Do I remember anyone sticking their foot in anyone's ass? I don't think so.
There's a lot of stuff that people do to one another.
Yeah, but I don't think I ever saw anyone sticking their foot in another person's ass. Now, it has been a couple years since I've seen or read Pride and Prejudice.
Yes.
Did it happen in that film? I don't know. It's like such a British, you know, old fashioned British sensibility. Like surely someone did, but like they don't talk about it in polite society, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. This is one of the ones I'll just say now. It's one of the ones that I forgot to put a label next to.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I'm kind of swayed by the posh British accent that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say Pride and Prejudice for that.
Yeah. Let's
one.
Just say, we'll just say Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've got, here's a tricky one.
Okay.
This is an exchange between, the characters, I'm realizing I shouldn't say their names. Character number one, prideful male.
Okay.
And character number two, prejudicial love interest of male.
Okay.
Potentially also male, potentially not.
Okay.
Depending on which of the things it is.
Okay.
Character number one says, "Perhaps that is not possible for anyone, but it has been the study of my life to avoid those weaknesses which often expose a strong understanding to ridicule." Mm-hmm. And then character number two says, "Somehow I'm mad and horny."
That's my secret cap.
That's my secret cap. I'm always mad and horny.
Yeah.
I'm always a little bit annoyed and a little bit turned on. That's my secret, Cap. It's a bad secret.
Now, yeah. I don't know if it's, once again, your treatment of the text that has colored my opinion. And also, I think, at least in the first half of that, some pretty hoity-toity sounding language.
Yeah, some pretty hoity-toity shit, yeah.
It's pushing me to Pride and Prejudice. Do you have an answer on this one?
I do and I don't.
Okay.
I do in the sense that this was a trick question. I actually took a line from Pride and Prejudice and then a line from this movie and then kind of put them together.
Okay.
But I don't in the sense that I can't remember which one.
Which one is which. Right.
Yeah. So we're kind of stuck there.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I think we just say that one is Pride and Prejudice again, too. And
I think we say Pride and Prejudice. Like,
I know that it's a little bit of a Frankenstein's monster, but
yeah,
on the whole, it reads as Pride and Prejudice to me.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got one last one, and I'll just preface it by saying I don't remember which one it's from.
Okay.
And it's just the last one, and, you know, maybe it'll be obvious to the listeners, but I'm not as well-read as, you know, maybe you are.
Yeah.
Here it is. Ready?
I think that's true.
He would not want us to sit here and mope on the dock. He would want us to do bumps of K by the pool.
Yeah, that's definitely a Fire Island. They do a ton of drugs. It's like a commercial for drugs.
It's a commercial for drugs. I, you know, whatever. I haven't done drugs in a long time, but I was like, huh.
Yeah, it's like, that looks fun. That one looks fun.
It seems fun.
Yeah, they all take K at some point and they get horse madness.
Yeah, they get
because
horse madness.
Because it's a horse drug.
My eyes are crazy. They're completely black.
No, they're fine. Actually, they are kind of weird. What did you take?
I'm guessing he found some K. Ketamine. Technically speaking, it's for horses.
Yeah. This has been Is This a Quote from Pride and Prejudice or Fire Island? And we're not any closer to our mission of figuring out what property this is based on.
No, I think we should probably get back to the plot of the film. So there's this tension between the love interest who's brought the two worlds together, this boy named Charlie. He's got a friend who is named Will, who's pretty icy, pretty standoffish, especially to Joakim Boosters' character.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily interested in one another at the beginning of the film.
It doesn't seem like it. They're both very handsome.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like you would think that you would acknowledge that at least that they're both very, like, super hot dudes.
Yeah.
But I guess everyone is in this movie, except Margaret Cho is a super hot dude. Literally every character in this film except Margaret Cho is a super hot man.
Yeah.
So it's like a dime a dozen out here. Yeah.
So these two, they're sort of circling one another, but they're both kind of the caretaker of
their group.
Their group and their friend who's in love with the other friend.
Right. And they're looking after each other. Yes. And then a bad man who's a hot, sexy man, shows up and he seems nice, a little too nice.
Oh, Dex.
Yeah.
Jack, I'm just going to quickly stop down here.
Yeah.
Because I do have a hashtag swoon.
Okay.
And even though he ends up being sort of a cad.
Yeah.
Dex is a hunk and a half. Whoa.
He's a hunk and
what
a half.
What a good looking dude.
I gotta say, like, I've been making some hay out of being like, they're all handsome.
Yeah.
But as a non-gay man, I stopped down for a second and was like, well, this guy's even more handsome.
He's very handsome. Like, also, startlingly, like, blue eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, sandy blonde hair, like, a really, like, sturdy mustache.
Yeah. But he's bad. He's a bad cad.
He's a bad cad. He likes to do secret recordings of people having sex with him that he sells on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that happens to our peer, Matt Rogers.
And even though and we had been warned, hadn't we, by the standoffish.
Yeah, the standoffish man, Will.
Will.
So it happens to Matt Rogers, our podcasting peer.
Yeah.
He takes too much horse tranquilizer and
it happens.
Has sex with this hunk and a half.
Yeah.
And is humiliated.
He's humiliated. His video is put on the internet. It sucks. It's non-consensual, we think, and it's bad.
Yeah. Trying to think of any sort of literary parallels or cinematic parallels.
Okay, I can do this. I know I can do this.
So there's kind of two characters who don't, on the face of it, are not interested in one another.
Yeah.
And one of them kind of has knowledge of the caddish nature of this newcomer.
Mm. Scarlet Letter.
Scarlet Letter.
Yeah.
Is that what Talented Mr. Ripley is about?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't even seen it either.
I don't think so.
No.
You know, that's kind of a kiss and tell type of situation.
Yeah, I guess it could be the Scarlet Pumpernickel.
Yeah, it could be the Scarlet Pimpernel.
So, I guess we'll put that up on the wall.
We'll throw that up on the wall. Okay, yes.
We'll put that in the maybe. I guess, like, qualified maybe.
Yeah, well, and there's another problem wherein one of the hangers-on of Will thinks that Will is for him.
Yes, because like, he's, once yeah, and he's moving to California. This is like the other guy in the group.
Yeah.
Who's also like, he's pretty like obnoxious and not necessarily nice to our boys.
Yeah.
But is also like nice enough to them and like hangs out with them and like invites them into like their party.
He's
house.
Got a snobby, he's got snob vibes.
Yeah, but yeah.
And that kind of throws everyone off the set.
Will. He wants the standoffish man to be his California boyfriend when he moves to California.
Yes. He needs a starter boyfriend.
Gosh.
Is there something with that? No.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? I've got another segment we can do.
Okay.
If it's helpful, while we kind of ponder it.
Yep.
And then we could come back to it.
Yeah. I'm feeling like the lady in the meme with the math.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the lady in the meme with the math. Yeah. You know? We're the ladies in the meme with the math. And don't worry. We'll get there, folks. We'll get there.
Let's clear the room. Let's clear the air.
Okay. This is a little segment we like to do that's called On the One Hand.
Yep.
And...
I don't like to do this one. I'm actually, I've never been invited to do this one.
No, you're not invited.
I'm always excused right when it starts. Yeah. And actually, I'm being ushered out right now.
Yeah.
So I'll see you in a little bit.
Shut up. I'll see you in a little bit. Yeah.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Arbiter Tanner. You've taken on like a real kind of
sinister, right?
Yeah, it's pretty sinister. Let me explain the situation to you here, Arbiter Tanner. Normally, I take some positive reviews of the property at hand and some negative reviews of the property at hand from Rotten Tomatoes. There were a couple of problems.
Oh, okay.
This week.
What?
Problem number one, because this film is not yet out of theaters.
Right.
There are no Rotten Tomatoes user reviews yet.
Right.
I did find an alternative.
Okay.
But I ran out of time and I only found On the Other Hand reviews.
Okay.
So I only found some negative reviews.
Okay.
So we're just going to have to, Arbiter Tanner, you're just going to have to judge.
Best of the worst.
I think the best of the worst. I found three reviews, and they're not of this movie.
Okay. That's probably okay.
See, what was happening was I was preparing a segment for that I did with Tanner, regular Tanner, before this.
Oh, okay.
Where we were doing some funny shit where we were saying like, cool. Is this a quote from... He's fine.
Yeah. We've never actually met.
Yeah, he's fine, you know?
Yeah.
We were doing a segment where I was saying, is this a quote from the book Pride and Prejudice or from this movie? And then I just kind of had that on the brain. And so what I've got for you is three one-star Amazon reviews of the novel Pride and Prejudice, which has nothing to do with anything, really.
Okay. I mean, I don't... Ultimately,
we'll say, you know what we'll do. Here's what we'll do.
The media that's being reviewed is ultimately not important to me. I'm
You're
here for the reviews.
Budget. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm here to dispense out my form of justice, which is shower the person I agree
with the most
with kisses.
Let's do this. Here's On the One Hand, and it's going to be from me.
And withhold kisses from those I don't
agree
with.
On one hand, from me, five stars.
On the one hand, Pride
from
and Prejudice.
Jack.
And
Jack Shepherd. 2022.
I'm going to invite Tanner back in for a second.
Okay.
Hi, I also five stars Pride and Prejudice. Yeah. I think it's a great book.
It's the tits.
I'm going to go now.
Okay. That's my review. Five stars.
Jack.
It's the tits.
Yeah, I haven't read it.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I say. Now let's go to the other side of the ledger and talk to some folks who have a point of view on the other hand.
Okay.
Someone called Elk Bader.
Okay.
Elk Bader.
Okay.
On June 11th, 2021, gave this novel.
I don't need to know his name or the date.
Gave it one star. And they say the following. If you've ever received a creative writing paper with the words show, don't tell written across the top, you'll wonder how this book ever made it into anyone's top list. It should be called Pride and Exposition. It reads like a boring Victorian romance novel written by a spinster who's never been in a romantic relationship in her life.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I said I don't really care about the media, but yeah. Everything that guy just said definitely mm-hmm. does not apply to the film.
No, this is about the novel.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, yeah. like, just to... Yeah. It's very clear that they're not talking about the film Fire Island.
Yes. Yes.
Thus divorcing Fire Island from this conversation.
Right.
Even more.
Even further.
Yeah.
If that were possible.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a second one-star review of Pride and Prejudice that was given on August 17th of 2021. 2021 was a big year for one-star reviews of Pride and Prejudice.
It was pandemic. We were all, like, stuck yeah. inside. It was like, I'm finally going to read that book, you know?
Yeah. This is someone called Broken Driver.
Yeah. Cool name.
I do not recommend Fear this rat. Book for any young so readers. Cool. My 13-year-old girl despised reading it and had trouble following what was going on. I recommend Love and Gelato instead. I'm not sure if he or she is recommending a book called that.
Set off in italics or quotation marks?
No.
So no. Then
love, and then it's an
surely
ampersand.
Surely not talking about yeah. a book or a film, because then he would have done italics yeah. or quotes.
Okay.
So he's talking yeah. about instead of watching...
Yeah.
Sorry, reading the book...
Yeah.
Pride and Prejudice, you should try Love.
Yeah.
Oh, and Gelato.
And Gelato.
You're feeling naughty. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Not helpful.
And then here's one more on the other hand from Alieska, someone called Alieska, who gave this novel one star on August 8th, 2015.
Okay.
Hated it. And that's from In Living Color.
Right.
Yeah.
That the Wayans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say, hated it.
Yeah.
And then she goes on to say, I know it's a classic and a lot of people love Jane Austen. I can appreciate her talent, but I found the characters vapid and shallow. And then she pauses for a second in a moment of self-reflection and says, maybe that's the point.
Yeah, maybe you should have considered that before you left the review.
So that's what we've got.
All right.
On Pride.
This is a tough one yeah. for me.
Yeah.
Because it's best of the worst.
Well, you can say, because Tanner said he liked it, and Jack said it's the tits.
Right.
Which I think is okay to say. I think that's okay to say.
I don't think it. I think you can only say that in England.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the first one.
The guy who says it should be called Pride and Exposition?
Yeah.
Okay. Who wanted more pictures? He says, show, don't tell, Jane Austen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like that. I like that he's...
Elk baiter.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's really cracked it. So I'm going to give him all the kisses. And I'm going to excuse myself now.
Okay. So what, Arbiter Tanner, goodbye.
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone. Yeah.
He left.
So we've got about 10 minutes left. And have we said the whole movie, and have we figured out what it's based on?
All right. Any last minute clues? So here's yeah. what happens at the end of the yeah. film. Mm. Joelkin Booster and the sort of like standoffish Will.
Yeah.
End up hanging out a lot, and they end up doing kissing and falling
yes.
in love.
Yes.
And
that's nice.
The obnoxious boy invites the ex-lover of, what's his name?
She who must not be named.
Charlie.
Yes.
He invites Charlie, his ex-lover, and Charlie sort of ends up paying more attention to the ex-lover, and Bowen Yang is leaving the island disappointed.
Yeah.
And then they do a go to him.
They do a go to him. Yeah.
And they take a boat.
On a boat.
And catch up.
They go to him.
And they go to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
they smooching.
That's the end of the film.
Yeah.
So does that remind you? Then that's sort of our last main beat. And is that
is there a
from
go
anything?
To him?
Is there a go to him? Is there like, you know, someone else comes into the picture and the.
Go to him is traditionally something that you and I used to say about in reverse. About Marianne Spear's father, Mr. Spear, and Marianne's friend, Dawn's mother.
Sharon Porter.
Sharon. When we used to talk about the Babysitter's Club books.
Yeah.
So could it be Marianne's Great Romance?
Could
that's a Babysitter's Club
honestly
book.
Very close.
Because it's kind of New England
Let's go back.
Yeah.
Driving force of the movie, two male friends of varying degrees of experience, sexual experience, agree that by the end of the session, they will all have had sex.
Yeah.
So sex pact.
Sex pact. Yeah. We got a sex pact on our hands.
Joel Kim Booster's character says to Bowen Yang's character at one point that he shouldn't get sucked into Charlie's orbit.
So there's like social stratosphere. There's and that's like a classic class dynamic.
Kevin and Vicky.
Okay.
Do you remember Kevin and Vicky from American Pie? They were like dating and they were like, are we going to actually go like, we're going to go off to college? Are we going to stay together? Should we like lose our virginity to one another?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a sex pact in that, and then there's that.
Yeah.
Okay.
At one point, Margaret Cho tells them to throw cans at the grocery store to dent them so they can get a discount.
Yeah.
Literally beat for beat from Big Daddy, Adam Sandler's Big Daddy. So
yeah,
that's in the running now.
That's interesting.
We've got American Pie. We've got Big Daddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess Dex is kind of this mysterious outsider who comes in.
Yeah.
Much like Nadia. In American Pie.
That's three for American Pie.
Yeah, and then films a sex scene, just like Jim and Nadia did.
In American Pie. Have we cracked this?
I mean, let's think about...
It's either that or Big Daddy, right?
Yeah. Well, and then Noah and Will are like classic Jim and Michelle.
Yeah.
So we know Noah's Jim, right?
From America. I don't know whether to be impressed or dismayed.
And Will is Michelle because they're like
familiarity with the first names of.
They
all
sort
the
of come from two different like worlds, two different stratospheres, but you know find one another in this mixed up world.
Yeah,
I guess Luke and Dex is kind of like Finch and Stifler's mom.
I think we've done it. I'm so pleased because we're just running
definitely
out of
American
time
Pie,
on the episode.
Right?
It's American Pie. Folks, you got to see Fire Island. It's a super fun movie. It's based on a classic. You don't need to know the classic to enjoy it.
No,
it's a fun movie by itself. It's really cool. It's
You would probably like American Pie, so check that out as well. It's really good.
But it helps if you've seen American Pie because it's like you can see all the like resonance between
you can
the
see all
two
the little
like kind of classic movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so fun. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
When I was looking at the Wikipedia page for American Pie yesterday, they describe Paul Finch. Do you remember anything about American Pie?
It puts his dick in a pie.
The one guy has sex with Stifler's mom.
Yes.
And his name is Finch. And on the Wikipedia page, they describe him as a macchiato drinking sophisticate.
That's not accurate.
So I'm glad we found that. Yeah, very good.
And we told you we'd get there. And sometimes it's fun to not just look it up, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes that like fills tape, you know?
She's an icon. She's a legend. That's about this movie.
Yeah,
that's about American Pie.
It's about American Pie.
Do
you want to do Burns?
I guess I didn't capture one.
Oh, at the 6 minute, 15 second mark, Margaret Cho is... on her porch, and they're all arriving for the first time, and she yells,
"Bitch! I knew I smelled some bottoms!"
And they smell like bottoms, like poop, right?
That's funny, and I think that it has a double meaning in the gay community.
Huh?
All right, folks, that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you for listening to our show. I hope you enjoy watching this film. It's based on a classic. Your English professors will be pleased that you watched it as well.
You can use it as like an anecdote at a party. Be like, oh, did everyone see Fire Island?
Did you know it's based on American
Pie? It's based on American Pie.
Yeah. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, so very much for being with me this week.
You're welcome.
Love and kiss you, and I do also love and kiss the Bedpots and the Sex Bugs and the Baby Nation and everybody who likes to listen to our show. Thank you so much for listening to our show. I love and kiss you. We would love to tell you you've got to join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. And you know what? Why not make today the day you subscribe for our Patreon? It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
What is
this? We got a whole show about... I'm doing a thing. About the TGI. I thought it was going well. It was going well until you said, what is this? And now I've deflated. But just do it. Come on. It helps to support us. And we have a whole other show there. It's only $5 a month.
Yeah, it's really good.
Everyone's having a good time there. You know what? Rate and review our show wherever you rate and review shows. It really helps us to, I guess, stay kind of like where we are mostly. Yeah, but that's
mostly
probably
helps
good.
Us tread.
Yeah. tread water. And tell a friend.
Yeah, please do. Tell a friend.
About our show. And you know what? Reach out to us if you got something you think that we would be good at covering. Get on the Facebook group and tell us a property, a romance novel or film that you think you
or anything,
like
really.
A lot of people have been saying that our good friend Aaron LaRosa wrote a romance novel about a butter. It's called like For Butter or Worse.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been asking us to
should do that.
Talk about that. So we should get our friend Aaron LaRosa on.
Oh, yeah.
I bet she would be pleased to do that.
I bet so, too. Yeah.
You know, authors normally do like to promote their books. And if we were better at just all the stuff, we would be like, hey, Aaron, you wrote a romance novel.
You even said our friend Aaron LaRosa. And I was like, oh, that's fun. We should definitely do that one. Still didn't make the connection that we could reach out to her and ask her to come on.
So that look forward to that. And in the meantime, all that remains is for me to say that this week we read a movie. The movie we read was, of course, called Fire Island. Next week, we're going to be reading a little book called It's a Movie. It's called A Movie. It's a Movie. And it's called Once.
Yep.
And it's the one with the song that they sing in it. It's called Once. Looking forward to that next week. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Sarah Greenring.
And I didn't write a thing for this. I hope you find your... Can you do it?
I hope you find your mad and horningly ever after. Somehow mad and horny... What's the line? Somehow I'm mad and horny?
Oh, there. I see. Yeah. Somehow I'm horny and also madly ever after.
Yeah. We might be childhood friends.